Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe just sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Think what a way to end the Easter news. They say nothing to anyone, for they are afraid. And the thing is, the oldest authorities we have on the Gospel of Mark end the entire Gospel, the entire good news of Jesus Christ, in this way, with the women fleeing the tomb in fear and silence. There have been other endings to the Gospel of Mark, if you look in your Bible, that have been added later, maybe because earlier scholars were uncomfortable with the good news of Jesus Christ ending with people running away in fear. But the most trusted writings we have end here. The women hear the good news of Jesus. They hear it secondhand. And according to the Gospel of Mark, they don't even get to see Jesus yet. But they hear it from a young man dressed in white, just hanging out in a tomb. And he tells them, "Jesus is risen. Go tell his disciples, and Jesus will meet you back in Galilee," which means he's going to meet you back home. And so the women do go, but they go in terror and amazement and tell no one. And I think I'd be right there with them. These are the exact same women who watched Jesus from a distance. They watched him suffer and die on the cross. And then a couple of them see his body laid in the tomb. And now they're supposed to believe some word from some guy they don't know who apparently likes hanging out in graves. And they're supposed to go and say, "Hey, Jesus is alive." As one person shared, it's never been an easy message for people to believe. It's never been an easy message for people to believe, especially when so much in our own lives and in this world keeps pointing to anything but Easter news, when so much keeps pointing to anything but hope and new life and victory over death. We know that throughout our lives we hear all kinds of bad news, sad and tragic news that happens to us or to people we know and love. When we watch the news across the world, much of it is heartbreaking. This past Thursday, on Maundy Thursday for worship, we had the opportunity to go to prayer stations, and one of those stations was for us to lay a heart-shaped stone on a country, on a map, or a place in our community that needs prayer, and to lift up those places in prayer. When I looked at those maps after worship, I saw that many of us laid stones on Gaza and Israel, and we prayed for the people there. We know that the humanitarian crisis there is so scary and it's growing. Some prayed for Ukraine and Russia, still in conflict. And still others lifted up prayer for Baltimore after the bridge collapsed this past week. And now thousands of people whose livelihoods are surrounding that bridge that was there, thousands of people are struggling to know, are they going to have work? And I keep thinking of those six people who have died or have not yet been recovered. They were wage earners for their family. And of those we've learned about, some had immigrated to the U.S. coming from countries where there's extreme insecurity and human rights violations. They came hoping for a better life. And this past week, they experienced death. It's never been easy to believe the Easter news. A nephew of one of the men who died on the bridge while he was still waiting to hear the news of if his uncle had been rescued, this nephew said, "In the end, the last word is God's. In the end, the last word is God's." He was talking about his uncle's life. I think what he said rings true more broadly for all of us, that in spite of the tragic or sad things we experience, Jesus is working to bring each one of us into Easter hope, even when we can't see it. In the end, for us and for this whole earth, we are promised that the last word is God's. God gets the last word, not death, not sadness, not tragedy, but our God. And yet, we all know we go through times of grief. Some of you might be here today grieving the life you wanted that's not at all turned out how you had hoped and dreamed. Maybe it's because of how work has gone, or because of a difficult relationship, or you've experienced addiction or depression. Many of us here, including myself, I grieve for people that I care about and love who have died far too soon. And I grieve for a world that is not as it should be. And at the same time, I still trust in the power of resurrection and new life that God brings us through Jesus. Not just at the end when God's going to make the whole earth new and all things well and whole, but the new life and resurrection that God begins in our lives here and now. A writer, Debbie Thomas, I think she puts it well, and I have a slide of this. She wrote, "I believe most of the time, but I don't yet understand. I cling to the resurrection, but I don't know what to do with death's ongoing cruelty. I believe that all things will be well, but I don't understand why they're not all well now." That is the complexity of living in this world with Easter faith. It's to trust the new life Jesus is working for us while not understanding why all is not well now. Delmer Chilton is a pastor who also does a podcast on scripture. And he said that resurrection doesn't so much change death, at least not for us right now, but the empty tomb changes life. How do you live your life now, knowing Jesus is risen? How do you live your life knowing God does get the last word, a word of life? Maybe it's when we're not quite feeling it even. It's living like the words spoken at the empty tomb are true. That Jesus is risen. He will meet you back home. Sometimes that's hard to see, but Jesus is there waiting to meet us exactly where we are each and every day this Easter and every day beyond. To live with Easter hope is to live the life Jesus has invited us into all along. A life that lives with generous love and extravagant welcome. At the empty tomb, we heard the words that the women are told to share, words of promise. They're told to share to disciples who had completely deserted and denied Jesus in his greatest need. And I would guess those disciples have some pretty heavy guilt weighing on them. And so the women are sent with this news that he will meet you. And it's implied with that news that you are welcome back. All is forgiven. To live with Easter hope is to live forgiveness when we feel like hanging on to our grudges and being right. To live Easter hope is the way that I see so many of you invest in your community or in the lives of extended family or friends by the ways you go to be present with them to offer real hands-on support when things have gotten tough. To live Easter hope is the way I see so many of you making yourself aware of the needs around you, and then you respond. Whether it's with a prayer or a kind word or a ride to the doctor or giving generously of your resources or your time, you end up being that sign of hope for someone. And maybe you're even a sign of hope for yourself. When you're struggling and you go and do that, it becomes a sign of hope when times feel hopeless. To live with Easter hope is a gentleman that I read about who's working in Jerusalem, and the Mennonite Central Committee is working with him to get funds to people in Gaza right now who need it, children and adults who don't have enough food. He shared that the price of one food staple used to be about 50 cents, and now that same staple is $8. So with the resources that have been given, he's able to get funds to those in Gaza who are starving, or to those who have needed hygiene products, who need those. Like for a woman who right now is living in a small classroom with 22 other people, to get hygiene products to them to help her and the people in that classroom have dignity. The situation that he sees seems pretty hopeless, but he holds up a sign that he keeps hanging on his wall that reads, "Hope is the only thing stronger than fear." To live Easter hope is the way one of the men who died on the bridge, to live at least the way it's been reported, to live the way he lived. Minor Suazo Sandoval, he worked very hard, and he used the money from his work to not only provide for his family here, but instead of keeping what he could, he sent money back home to help his community there. He helped to build a hotel to create jobs there. He sponsored a youth soccer team to encourage young people. He helped his family and community members with medical bills. His hope was to make that community a better place to be. He looked at what he had, he listened to what the needs were, and he sought to live generously to meet those needs, to create hope for others. Hope, and I would add love, are the things that are stronger than our fear. The resurrection may not change the cruelty of death and loss for us right now, but the empty tomb, it does change life. How are we going to live our lives this Easter and all the days ahead knowing Jesus is risen? How are we going to live? I mentioned the Gospel of Mark ends with the women running away in fear and silence, but we know that was not the end of their story. We all sit here today as a sign that they did share the news. It just took some time for the resurrection to take root in their lives and grow. We all sit here today a sign that hope and love are stronger than fear. Easter promises that in the end, the last word is God's. God's word of life for us, God's word of life for this whole world, now and forever. And so we say thank you, God. Amen.